of Alat Tzadikim. May what happened to you here? You hear standing up. Okay, we have the bracha of Alat Tzadikim v'al Chasidim v'al Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael v'al Pleitas Soifreihem v'al Geriyah Tzedek v'aleinu. Yehemuno Rachamecha Shavolokeinu v'sin Socher Toi v'luchol Abotchem v'shimcha b'mes v'simcha l'keinu imohem li'olom v'loini v'oshki v'chomotachnu. Baruch atah Hashem Mishon Mivtach LaTzadikim. Hope that sounds familiar. Say that three times a day. Nusach Ashkenaz. Now, this bracha, notice we start off with, I think there are six categories. We should know this by heart, all the different nuances. We say it so many times. There are Tzadikim, number one. There are Hasidim, number two. There are Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael, the elders of the Jewish people. Okay, then that's three. Number four is Vel Pleitas Sofereihem, the leftovers of the scribes, that's four. Then there is Geriat Tzedek, that's five. And then there is V'oleinu. There is us. We come in sixth. And then we ask, Yehemu Rachamech Hashem Elokeinu V'sein Socher Toiv. We ask for another category, number seven. L'chol Haboitchim B'Shimcha Be'emes. It almost sounds like there's another category. Yehemu Rachamech Hashem Elokeinu V'sein. It sounds like we are mispalel for six categories of people to receive Hashem's rachamim. And category number seven is the ibriya b'fnei atzma, the category of those that are boiteach b'shimcha b'emes. Then we ask for the same socher toif. We ask for them we want even something even higher. We want for them socher toif, which is different than asking for rachamim. And then we do something a little bit bizarre, and we say the simcha l'keinu imohem li'olam. Now we already ask for oleinu. Didn't we already do that? Didn't we already ask for vi'oleinu, for us? That was in the category of Algeria tzedek, vi'oleinu. Yehemu rachamach Hashem l'keinu. Then we say the same sochot l'chlobot m'shimcha b'mes, and then we say may our portion be imohem li'olam. Okay, so it's very simple. We have here six categories and number seven. That's a very reasonable idea, because number seven, you know, the number seven is always special. There are 6 days of the week, and then comes Shabbos. Shabbos is special. There are 6,000 years in this world, then comes the 7,000 year, which is the Olam, the Zman of Mashiach, Olam Haba, whatever all that means. We know the number seven. The seven is a holy number. This everything in Yadus revolves around the number seven. Seven represents kedusha, and it almost seems to say that in this bracha we're doing the same exact thing. We're breaking up the world into seven different categories. There are people who are in the category of tzaddikim, people who are chassidim, people who are zakenim, people who are the seifrim. We're calling him the pleitas, but they were the pleitas, the seifrim, and they are geri tzedek. And there's the average Joe, Violenu. Six different types of Jews. Those are the ordinary, mundane, the ordinary Jews. But then there's a category like this, the Shabbos Kodesh and the Menorah. There are seven branches in the Menorah. According to Rashi, all of the branches, they point towards the center. The center is very special. These are the people who have faith in Hashem, not just lip service faith. Okay, so that itself, I think, is a word in and of itself, to appreciate that people who have faith in Hashem are in a league all by themselves. The same way there's a difference, you make a bracha, hamavdil, ben kodesh l'chol, ben yisrael l'amim, ben yom hashvi'i l'sheish esimei hamaseh. You can make a bracha to differentiate between the Jew who is boteach b'Hashem be'emes, and all the other Jews, the Jews that are the Tzaddikim, and the Hasidim, and the Soifrim, and the Geriat Tzedek, and the Zikhenim, and us, because ain't doing it. Just because a person's a Tzaddik, he does everything right. He does everything you can possibly do right. He's a Tzaddik, he learns, he davens, as Chesed. But no one really knows what's really going on deep, deep down inside of a person's mind. who really is a boteach b'Hashem? All of the outer, all of the yeah.
What about the Yesharim?
The what? The Yesharim? The term called the Yashar, Yesharim.
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer. I don't know where the Yesharim fit in over here. This nusach. Yesharim, maybe the Yesharim is a generic description that includes many Jews. I don't know. I really don't know. All we have here to work with is this bracha. We have to. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. I don't know. There has to be more depth to understand how other terms that are used elsewhere in the Chazal and Tanakh, how they are incorporated into this blessing. All we can take out of this blessing, the way we have it at face value, is seven. All Jews are being broken down here into seven categories. Now, what is exactly the difference between the seven categories? That's over my head. To go split hairs and try to explain what's called a tzaddik, what's called a chassal. I'll give you one shot in a moment. That's complicated. What's a tzaddik? I don't know the tzaddik and the chassid. Okay, they're basically the same. Tzaddik means very strict. Tzaddik. Chassid usually mean lefnim mishur sadin. Okay, but in our vocabulary, it's all the same, right? There's a tzaddik and there's a chosid.
It depends on context.
Right, it depends the context. That's it.
No?
Exactly, absolutely. And also when you contrast, also there's another principle that when you contrast one to another, that certainly changes the meaning of each one. So there are different terms for, I'll tell you one shot in a moment, but at least let's appreciate this point, is that when we look around in this world, we definitely see diversity. We definitely see different types of Jews. There are Jews that have a chalivas for learning Torah. Really, mamish, they're the shakuen Torah. And there are Jews that are very big in chesed, they do incredible acts of chesed. Learning, not everyone is cut out to learn the whole day. There are people that are oisik in tzachit tzibur, and doing chesed, and raising money, and all different types of forms of chesed. And there are Jews that are geirei tzedek. You know, can you imagine that a goy has an assignment, he sees the emes, and he converts, he goes against the entire world to join a few people who the world looks at as being crazy. I mean, that's an incredible thing. That's a whole different league in and of itself, the Geri HaTzedek. And they are the Zekanim, people who are, Zekanim can either mean Zeh Shekane Chochma, or Zake means, maybe it's Talmidei Chachamim. Zeh Shekane Chochma doesn't necessarily mean old men. Zeh Shekane Chochma. And then there are people who are the Seferim. What are the Seferim? They count all the letters of the Torah. What does that mean? How does that? You would say that the Malamdei Tineko Shabbos Rabban, they're sometimes called Seferim. Okay, I don't know. And then there's Aleinu. There are people that don't fit into any category. Okay, this it's not important to go through all the details of it. The point over here is that we definitely can appreciate that in Klal Yisrael there are many different types of groups of Jews. Everyone has their place. Everyone works together to achieve Kavod Shemayim. But then there's a type of Jew that is literally in a class by himself. That's number seven. The people who have true faith in Hashem, be'emes. Everyone has faith in Hashem. But not everyone can you say their faith is emes. Some people, their faith is because of pressure. Pressure, you go to shul, you're a part of a community, it's just not kedai. It's not worth it to go and leave the community and give up your Judaism because you don't really have full faith because you can lose all the benefits. What's going to be with your children? Who's going to marry your children? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? It's not practical sometimes. So yeah, you go along with the party line. You have faith. You do the mitzvahs. You know, but can you really say that this person? Can you really say about yourself that you are a real maimon? It's very hard. Life is full of nisyonos. There are moments in time when you have glimpses of emunah. How long do those glimpses last and take you, carry you in your life? But there are people, we've all met certain types of people that were blown away. These guys, they're the real deal. They're the real deal. Like you know, you're just blown out of the water. People that do things that really reveal they are in the category of those v'chol abotchem b'shimcha be'emes. So again, I'm just repeating this because I like this word very much. There are 7 days in the week. You make a bracha twice. You make Kiddush and make Havdalah to be mavdil between Shabbos Kodesh and the other 6 days of the week. There's a world of a difference. in the menorah, in the Beis HaMikdash, there are seven eras. Rashi says, "Mul penei haMenorah yiru shavas haNeros," that the six neros shall point towards the center shaft, the center ner. The center ner is in a class by itself. Everything in this world, there are heavens, there are seven heavens. The seventh one is where Hashem resides. Okay, there's a lot, there's all different types of ideas of the number seven. I don't have to elaborate. And number seven is in a class by itself. And here it's the same thing. Those that have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're in a class by itself. And we ask Hashem to give them Sochar Toiv. The other six groups, the ordinary people, the Tzadikim, the Hasidim, the Zigni Amcha, the Yisrael, the Pleita Safreim, the Geriat Tzedek, the Oleinu, Yehemu Rachamecha. The most we can expect is Rachamim, mercy. But Sochar Toiv, that's Miyuchad for category number seven, the Shabbos Jew. We'll call him the Shabbos Jew, the Jew of the pure, undiluted, a quintessential Jew of faith. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Now, Mr. Rapport, you mentioned, what is the difference between a tzaddik and a chosid? I saw something from the Avudraham. The Avudraham is bread and butter. Meat and potatoes, he's the aleph base of a lot of Muslims, the earliest Rishonim. And he said something very shocking. And Mr. Rapport, exactly what you say, everything depends on the context. He says a tzaddik means a tzaddik me'ikoroi. FFB, pardon the raw letters of the ABC. FFB, from birth. A chosid is a BT, a Baal Teshuvah. Why would you call a chosid a BT? Because what does a chosid mean? Chosid means you do lifnim mishuras hadin, more than what is required, more than what is required of you. Who needs to go lifnim mishuras hadin? Only a person who was nichshav. A person who never had a problem, Alcoholic Anonymous, people who, let's say, have a drinking problem, an addiction. So they are the ones that have to go lefnim Meshuras HaDin and don't even walk on the side of the street where the liquor store is located. A person who never had an addiction problem with alcohol, it doesn't make a difference. He can go into the liquor store, he can have in his home wine. It means nothing to him. I'll take a little sip here, a little sip there. He doesn't have a problem. He doesn't have to go and do anything special. But a person who, Rachman Litzlan, has a problem, and he went through a process of recovery, just because he recovered and now he's fine, he has to take extra precautions. He has to go lifnim mishuras hadin in order not to be nichshol in the avera again, in the problem again. So therefore, being that the word chosid has the connotation of lifnim mishuras hadin, more than what is required of you, and a baal teshuva needs to take extra special precautions because it's easier for him to fall into the trap. So a chosid, a holy person who is going the extra mile to take extra precautions, is a term that is used in this bracha. This is what the Avudraham says, not me. The Avudraham says it's called a BT, a Baal Teshuvah. A Tzaddik is an FFB. Okay, so we have over here FFBs and BTs. Al Tzaddik ve'al Chasidim ve'al Zikni Amcha Be'Yisrael. Okay, the other categories are self-explanatory. Nah, self-explanatory, whatever they are. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's discuss this idea of that. This one, this is what I really, I like this part very much. The same Sochar Toiv, grant good reward. What does it mean, good reward? So we discussed this in the past. People ask all the time. I daven the whole day for Shaduchim. I have grandchildren. I have children, grandchildren. Shaduchim, Shaduchim, Shaduchim. Both people today. Shabbos is coming. Shabbos is Tu B'Av. Is you know, Tu B'Av is a Shaduchim. Okay, Tu B'Av, big day for Shaduchim. People are obsessed. Literally, they dream about Shaduchim. They mispalul, they do things that's chusim. Where in Shmoneh Esrei do we pray for Shidduch. So we discussed this. And there are basically two explicit places, in the Shemoneh Esrei where it's explicit. The bracha, Re'ei Na Ve'Anyenu. This is an explicit request to Hashem to bring about Shidduchim. We say this in the Haggadah. Vayar Hashem Be'Anyenu. Chazal, the Hagbal Haggadah says, what does it mean Be'Anyenu? Zu Perishas Derech Eretz. The Egyptians did not let the men and the women live together. They were separated. It's Kachi Darko Shel Olam, a man has a wife. And the Egyptians, Vayar Es Onyenu, Onyenu Zu Perishas Derech Eretz. So when we say Re'ei No Ve Onyenu, Hashem, today in the year 2021, look at this our suffering, and we use that term, it means look at how many people there are out there in the world who want to get married and can't find who they're looking for. Okay? They can't find who they're looking for. Derech Agav, if anyone wants, privately message me. I don't know how this happened. I came across this little video clip of these Chinese little children. They look like they're like 5 years old. And I think it's an unbelievable clip. It speaks volumes about Shidduchim. You have to see it to understand what I'm saying. If anyone wants, I'll send it to you. It's just, it's mind-boggling, to me at least. All right, in any event, Shidduchim, fine. But there's another bracha that we pray for Shidduchim. And that is this bracha right here, V'sein Sachar Toiv, good reward. What do most people in this world consider to be the most important good reward? Children and Shidduchim. There could be no better reward in this world. Sochar Toiv L'chol Habaytachim B'Shimcha B'Emes. People who daven to Hashem, L'zos, and then why for those who daven to Hashem? Because Chazal say, L'zos Yispalel Kol Chosid L'Eitz Mitzoy. To this, a Chosid shall pray to Hashem in a time of finding, L'Eitz Mitzoy, Mitzoy Zu Isha. So to get a good Isha, you have to daven. And here, the whole Klal Yisrael is cheering on the person. The saint, Sochach Labotchem, B'Shimcha B'Emes, to daven those people who are davening to you, Hashem, that they should find a zivug, l'zos yisvalol kochos l'is mitzoy, Hashem, you have to help them out. The whole Klal Yisrael has to cheer them on, has to be their fans, their support group. Hashem, please grant their request and bring it about that these people, they find for themselves a zivug hogun. Okay, that's one idea. Now, there's another idea. So I have two brachas of Shidduchim. Re'ena and V'sein Sochar Toiv. In some say means children. Person, Achmanu Litzlan, is struggling to have children, or that his children should turn out well, they should be successful, they should have good children, Yirei Shemayim. No, it's a mamash miracle. A child can be destroyed in a moment. A one wrong little thing can totally get a child off track. No one knows how these things work. Every moment of the day, you need siyata d'shmaya to make sure everything goes according to plan. He shouldn't meet the wrong people, hang out with the wrong people, be influenced. Even one little thing can derail a child and take him down a path, put him on a trajectory that Rachmana Litzlan is not good. And you need that siyata d'shmaya. Rav Chazon initially says, the ikar tefillah that a parent should have when he prays for his children is not that he should be a gadol hador, you should be a talmud chacham, or you're a shemayim, you should be. Don't waste your time on that. The ikar tefillah that a parent should pray for his child is that Hashem should protect him, should remove him from the distractions. If a child is not distracted with mishugasim and problems, naturally, it's a given, he'll find his place in life as a good person. The problem happens, the distractions are so overwhelming, they pull them away to a bad place. If you just remove the distractions, even if he's not the best student, not this, not that, he's a troublemaker, don't worry, he'll find his place, he'll turn out to be A-okay. It's the distractions that ruin everyone. Okay, the same Sochar Toif. The next idea, But this idea, as I was trying to get to, I like this idea. When Moshe, when it says in Ma'aseh Bereishis, Vayavu Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, Vayaru Elokim Esa Or, Ki Tov. This is the first time in the Torah where the word Tov appears. Vayaru Elokim Esa Or, Ki Tov. What does that mean, Tov? What does that mean? What does that mean, Tov? So Rashi here says something very profound, and it's very relevant for everything in life. Rashi says that Hashem saw that the Or is so good, it's not kedai that the wicked should be nene from this Or. This Or is something that is only fitting for tzaddikim to partake from. It's not kedai that the wicked should be nene, should take what is miyuchad for the tzaddikim. In other words, toiv is something, by definition, cannot be taken away. Toiv is something which you get, it's yours. It's yours, and no one can snatch it away. How many times do we see in life where people, they work so hard, they work for a position to become in a company, to rise up, to be a partner, to be an officer. They sweat away their whole life to earn money, and then crazy things happen. All their money is stolen. They put their money in the stock market, and then the stock market crashes, and this happens, that happens. Or a person works his whole life to get a position, and then they pass him over for partner, or he had the position, and someone manipulates the situation, and they take it away. Person's a rabbi and they throw him out after a number of years. And then after all that hard work, after all that frustration, what do you have to show? Gone. And you can't say it's gone, people, you know, you have accomplishments. I'm not coming to deny, you can't take away person's accomplishments. But in this world there are certain things we work for, and kachi darka shalom, you know, yinenem yigiyas kapov. And when what you work for is just snatched away, it's a horrible. We went with a mayor to a barbecue. The mayor who served me all this good stuff, and they were talking there about Rabbeinu Tam. Why was Rabbeinu Tam called Rabbeinu Tam? And different. I don't know. There are different reasons. I don't know all the reasons. But there's one thing that they say. Is it true or not? I don't know. But this is what it says in the books. It says it's in all the history books. It says the same thing. I don't know. To me, it doesn't sit well with me, but I'll tell it to you anyway. It's very relevant for this conversation, this discussion, is the halacha. There used to be in those days, and it still is today to some degree, when a person, if you have a daughter and you want to marry her off, it's going to cost a lot of money. That's how it goes. Of course, that's how it used to be. It was probably worse than this today. Today, it's a very shermatsiv and shidduchim. But it seems like years ago it was even worse. And how is it worse? It was worse that you had to give a big dowry, a nadah. So what would happen? A father, he works for years, he saves up money, he sweats away, and he has a daughter. And he promises, whoever will marry my daughter will get the nadah. Someone comes along, he marries the daughter, gets the nadah. And then what happens? Rahman al-Islam, the daughter dies. This man's daughter dies. The wife dies before they have a child. So the son-in-law now has in his money, he has in his possession all the money. Let's say make-believe the father-in-law said, I'll give $1 million whoever marries my daughter. So the Edom has $1 million, and the daughter dies. So what does the Edom do now? He's a young guy, he remarries. He takes a second, another wife. Does he give back the money that the Shver gave him? No. The Shver gave him $1 million, knew he was going to use that money to whatever, he's going to raise a family. And eventually, I guess that money, the reason why the Shver gave him $1 million was because he's not really giving it to his Edom, he's giving it to his daughter. Because his daughter's going to have children, not children, so the money will go to his own Einikloch. But now the daughter died and there are no children, so where's the money go? The money goes to his son-in-law, which he only knows for a short period of time, and there are no children from him. He remarries, so all the money goes out the door to some other family. This is a curse. This curse is called in Chazal V'sam lorik kochachem. Kochachem, you have to translate it backwards. All of your koyach, your effort, your toil, is sam. Sam means consumed. Lorik, for nothing. This man, he worked, let's say, 30 years to marry off his daughter. And all that money is down the drain. His daughter died. And the money that he gave to marry her off to the Edim, gone. It's a curse. The sam lorik koichachem. Your effort, your labor has gone down the tubes. So what does he do? What did Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, this happened, it seemed it happened pretty, I don't know how often it happened, but it happened. It was a different world. I guess public health is not what it is, Baruch Hashem, today. And it happened. So he made a takona. The takona is, I'm not exactly sure of the exact details of the takona, but it goes something along the line that if there are no children, if the daughter dies and there are no children, all the money goes back. The shver gets a refund. Okay, it's like a warranty. Do they ever call you on the telephone? If you want to extend your warranty, well, it came from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam made a warranty. If you get married and there are no children and the daughter dies, the money goes back to the shver. He put an end to the curse of v'sam lorik koichachem. Out of appreciation for putting an end to the curse by making this takana and enforcing the takana, they called him Rabbeinu Tam. He put an end to the curse of v'sam lorik koichachem. Now, why am I telling this to you? To illustrate is that person works and he gets reward. And unfortunately, it's a very dangerous world. It's a very unpredictable world. And often reward, your reward, what you work for, goes to someone else. A person spends a whole life creating an institution, working, raising money, working very hard in every way to create something. And then at the very end, someone comes along and tries to snatch it all away from you. To snatch it all away, and they take away all your hard work. That's a curse. It's not just a curse. That's Ra. Tov, the beginning of creation. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. What is the word tov? This is something that I do not want a wicked person to take away. It's not theirs. They don't deserve this. And if they don't deserve this, I will not allow Rishoyim to enjoy this. It's not for you. It will not happen that someone who does not deserve it should take possession. Something that is toiv in the definition of the Torah in the first pasuk in Rashi, in this Rashi, the first time we use the word, means it is something that can only be enjoyed by the person who deserves it. That's satisfying. It's satisfying to know that what you work for, no one else can have. It's impossible for them to be nene. You know, in the world we live in today, it's a very, very, very common thing. Like in security, you go into a car. Like, you know, like you used to remember years ago, they would steal radios. It was like, you have a car, there's a radio in your car? There's a radio in your car? Forget it. It's gone. How long will it take until the radio is not going to be in your car anymore? That was like a davar pasher. You're not going to have the radio. So then they got very, did you ever hear in the last 15 years at least that someone stole the radio in your car? I haven't heard even once in at least 15 years of a Geneva where they stole someone's radio. Why not? Because they put in security measures, they put in things into the car where it's basically it's impossible to steal a radio. Now they steal the airbags and they steal other sophisticated things, but they don't steal the radio. Because the way they've already solved that problem, it's impossible for someone who's not the bailim to be nene from this thing. That's just the way they made it. They made it more sophisticated. That is what you mispalu for. The ultimate reward, whether it's a lot of reward, whether it's a small amount of reward, is Hashem grant the tzaddikim, grant those that are boitchem b'shimcha be'emes, sochar, reward, that's called toiv, that no one can take away. Grant them something that will give them satisfaction, that I will be with them forever, in this world, the next world, something which is real, that is customized for that person, that can never be enjoyed by a ganav, by a phony, by an imposter. That's cool. That's the type of reward, the sochar toif, reward that's miyuchad for this person. No one can be nene from that reward. Okay, so that's an idea of the same sochar toif. Now let's discuss another idea. Another idea is l'cholabotchem b'shimcha be'emes, all those that have faith in your name, be'emes. And then it says, okay, this is a little bit of a drush vart, like a real drushy vart. What is the reward? So we already discussed the ultimate reward is having children. The ultimate reward is, you know, a good a partner in life, children. It's pasha, that's the sochar toiv. The reward is something no one can take away. But there's another drush, and the drush is the bracha continues to tell you what is really called sochar toiv. Continues, they're saying sochar toiv l'chalabotchem b'shimcha, the saying sochar toiv l'chalabotchem b'shimcha b'emes. What's the reward? The $6 million question. What is the reward? The next words. Do we know what the real reward is? The sim chelkeinu imohem. It's a little bit strange to say this, but the reward is to be together with us. If you go to the moon and you don't come back, what's the point? The whole hana is to go tell people when you came back where you went. I'm just giving me a little bit of a joke. But you cannot have pleasure in this world alone. The whole hana, true pleasure, true reward is the sim chelkeinu imohem li'olam. That they should be together with us and we should be with them. Being in isolation, in lockdown, with everything you could possibly want, with food, drink, and entertainment, that's not reward. That's torture. It makes, what do you mean it's torture? Compare it to what it's like in a prison, in a dungeon. Okay, fine, it's a little more comfortable, but you got to your mind. A human being is created in such a way where he needs social interaction, even though there are people that are very isolated. I know a lot of people like this. They live in their own little world, they hibernate, and they have no contact. They're not happy people, these people. They're tortured people. Even though they claim and they say scientifically they're very happy. Okay, yeah, but we all know is that living life to its fullest, pleasure in life, is being part of a community, part of a society where you're respected, where you look up to, and you're part of the crowd. And the bigger the crowd, and the more respect, the more you're integrated, the greater the pleasure. Now, in this society that we live in, it's impossible because once you get to a certain threshold of, let's say, even 30 people, it's diminishing returns if you're part of a larger community because it becomes fake. Okay, that's our limitation. That's our problem. But the truth being is, if a person sees you see great, look around at great people. People that are really great, what makes them great? What makes a person really great? So, of course, it's Torah and Chesed, but the Torah and the Chesed creates in them the ability to connect with more people. I mean, Gedolei Yisrael, like you all hear about, like you hear about certain people, every one of the Talmidim will say, I was his favorite Talmud. And then you go to the Levaya, you go and they say, wait a minute, there are another 100 people here that think that they were his favorite Talmud. What are you talking? What are these guys talking about? I was the favorite Talmud. And every single one of those 100 people They think that I'm crazy. They think they were the favorite Talmud, or every child. Someone has 12 children. Every child thinks I was the favorite child. And then you hear the other children talk, and they say, I was the favorite child. That's greatness. A person's able to connect with more people. That's greatness, and that is his sochar toiv. That's his reward. His reward is everyone is connected to more people. That creates a whole new persona. The same sochar toiv, l'cholabotchem b'shimcha be'emes. What's the reward? What's the sochar toiv that we're going to give l'cholabotchem b'shimcha be'emes? Tesla? To go send him on a vacation to Hawaii? You're going to give him unlimited steaks? Unlimited liquor? What's the sochar toiv? You're going to buy him a new shas? You're going to give him COVID? You can let him talk at the CMA Shas. Come on, the whole thing is baloney. Oh, everyone knows all, but what's the Socher Toif? The Socher Toif is the Sim Chalkeinu Imohem Li'Oila. To be connected to Klal Yisrael. To be part, a chelik of the bigger picture. A real connection, not a superficial make-believe celebrity, Hollywood celebrity connection, which is total sheker and kozav, not a politician, and not that type of nonsense. We're talking the real deal. That connection to people, to more people, not for COVID, not talking about, we're talking about family. That's choshev. That's very satisfying. That's called sochar toiv. The Baruch is telling you what the Sochar Toiv is. L'chol abotchem b'shimcha be'emes. L'chol abotchem b'shimcha be'emes v'simcha l'keinu imohem li'oilam. That is the Baruch. Now, last part. V'loy nevosh. May we not be embarrassed. Ki v'chol abotochnu. What in the world is that about? Embarrassment? Who ever mentioned embarrassment here? Embarrassment? We should not be embarrassed. What does that have to do with socha, with reward? Reward. So, okay, this is something that we spoke about before Tisha B'Av. I'll tell you just to run by very, very quickly. Before Tisha B'Av, we discussed this at length. And that is, just to review, and that is, let's go back to Rachel and Leah. Rachel, the Klal Yisrael today is living in the Zuchus. The most important part of Tisha B'Av is Kol b'rama nishma, Rachel mevake al bonecha, and everyone knows the story 100 times over. That in the zechus of Rachel giving the simonim to Leah to prevent her from embarrassment. Yes, v'shavu yes socher. It says the word socher. Taka says the word socher. Yes socher. There is reward. The same socher toiv. Lifula seich. And v'shavu vanim ligvulam. It says exactly the same word. There's going to be reward for your deeds, for your actions. And your children will return. Klal Yisrael will return to the Beis HaMikdash. There will be the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi in the Zchus of Rachel, who gave the simanim to Leah to prevent her from being embarrassed. As Rashi says, when Rachel saw that they were taking Leah, and Leah did not know the code to give over the simanim to Yaakov, she said, now my sister is going to be embarrassed. So let me give the code so she's not embarrassed, even though the consequences are that I'm not going to be able to marry the tzaddik. She did it. So here's the question. The question is, this is a beautiful story. Beautiful, beautiful story. She prevented her sister from being embarrassed. But why is this story so important, so powerful, that the whole Klal Yisrael is living in this story? I mean, the Maisim B'chol Yom, people do things. People do things to prevent people from being embarrassed. Maisim B'chol Yom. Okay, maybe it wasn't as good as this, but the math doesn't add up. It just doesn't really, it doesn't, if you think about it, what would have happened if she didn't give this simon? So she'll be embarrassed. She's not really the one that's going to be embarrassed. Lovin's going to be embarrassed. Lovin's going to be the fool here. I mean, okay, you can darshan, you can talk and talk, fine. I'll accept all the answers. But after everything is said and done, it's a incredible thing that she did. No one's coming to second guess it, deny it, and even the teeny teeny mashu. Really? Because of this? That's why with Zoyche we merit to have the Gula Hasida? So before Tishra, we explained, it's not about the embarrassment of, oh, here's Leah. It's something very, very different. When Yaakov saw Rachel and Leah for the very first time, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'enei Leah Rakos. Leah's eyes were tender. Ve'Rachel hoyesa yifas toya yifas mar. What does it mean? Her eyes were tender, Rakos. Chazal says she cried. She cried tefillah, tears of prayer. She did not want to marry a Rasha. She knew that she was destined to marry Esav, and her sister was going to marry Yaakov. She was mispalel. The greatest embarrassment in this world is to daven to Hashem and for Hashem not to answer you. That is the greatest embarrassment, and everything else is nonsense. All the bushel chlim in the world, no, this world is a praise door. Okay, easy for me to say, right? Easier said than done. But the greatest embarrassment is when you daven to Hashem, and everyone knows that you're davening to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't answer you. You find it explicitly, this idea, by Moshe the Aaron. When after Aaron, by the Miluim, Rashi explicitly says that Aaron said to Moshe, I lit the menorah, I brought the korbanos, I did everything I'm supposed to do, and the Shekhinah did not come down. And Aaron said to Moshe, Moshe, what did you do to me? You embarrassed me in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. He was embarrassed because he was mispalel to Hashem to bring the Shekhinah to the Mishkan, and it didn't happen. Moshe, you set me up for failure. You embarrassed me. That's busha. Bush is not, you know, publicly making a joke about someone. That's busha. Yeah, easy for, right? Easy for me to say, right? It's pretty big busha when your name is plastered all over the internet, horrible things. That's pretty bad. No one's going to deny that. That's pretty bad busha. But that's not the real busha. The real busha is when you're mispalel and Hashem doesn't answer you. Leah was mispalel all her years not to marry, to be able to marry someone like Yaakov. And now it's curtains. Now it's going to be, the fraud is going to be exposed. She'll never be able to marry Yaakov. Rachel said, Hashem, I cannot allow this embarrassment to happen. A person who davens to you and is not answered, you don't want to answer her. You want to embarrass her, Hashem? She davened to you. It's not love on the problem over here, Hashem. You're the problem, Hashem. That's what Rachel said. It's not love on. Love on is a meshugana. You're the problem. Because she davened to you, and you now are going to deny her this. I'm not going to let that happen. If a person davens to Hashem, they have to be answered. That's busha. The same sochar toiv. These are the people who have faith in you, Hashem. They daven to you. You can't embarrass them. This bracha is spelling out Rachel. The simchel kenimayim liolam v'lo nevoish. It is our duty as Klal Yisrael to make sure that these tzaddikim that daven to you are not embarrassed by you denying them their tefillah. So here we are, Hashem, and we're saying to you, Hashem, you better answer them. Because if you don't answer them, they're going to be embarrassed. And when they, what do they want? What's the embarrassment? The embarrassment is their tefillahs are going to go unanswered. The lo nevoish. Don't embarrass them, Hashem. Ki v'chobo tochnu. They have faith in you. We are repeating exactly what Rachel did for Leah. Exactly. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you so much for coming. Learning with me. Have a wonderful night. Mir Tashem, tomorrow we'll continue at 9:30. The last time I came on time, 9:30, I don't even remember. But we'll try for tomorrow. Okay, we'll try for tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone. Zai gesund. Heshi, Barth, how are you doing? Heshi, what's doing? Good night, good night. Oh, Ezra, Heshi, how are you doing, Heshi, Barth? What's doing there? And Rusk? All right. Heshi Ogman, thank you for coming. We have three Heshis here. We have Heshi Barth, Heshi Ogman, Heshi Gladder. V'achut ha-meshulash. There must be something very special about that name. I have three Heshis on the screen. Isn't that amazing?
You're very funny tonight. Thank you for that. Okay. In your description of certain people who are really miserable, or you don't know, or you don't really know what they are. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's a funny world, that's for sure. How are you? How's it going? Right. How's everything by you?
Everything is good.
Okay. Yeah. How's your Tisha B'Av?
Okay.
How's your Tisha B'Av? How's your Tisha B'Av? How's your fast?
Good. It was fast. It was good.
Okay.
The day after is harder than the day of.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same thing. I really, yeah, it's true. It's definitely true. It felt the same way. Catches up with me.
I can't believe it's after Tisha B'Av. It's like unbelievable.